This afternoon we hear the comfort that comes from God's Word, as the Church has also summarized it in Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Let's read that together. We can find that on page 517 of our Book of Praise. Page 517 of our Books of Praise. The Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. What do you need to know in order to live and die in the joy of this comfort? First, how great my sins and misery are. Second, how I am delivered from all my sins and misery. Third, how I am to be thankful to God for such deliverance. So far from our confession. Dear brothers and sisters, how do you deal with fear, anxiety, and sorrow? These are things that are part of this life, part of a life broken due to sin. We become afraid of the dark because of what might be lurking there, although usually there's nothing there. We are anxious about how things will turn out because we know things can go wrong, even though it often doesn't. We grieve because loved ones have passed away, and they should still be here with us because God did not create us to die. And these are only a few of the examples of fear, anxieties, and sorrows that we face in this life. But how do we, as Christians, deal with these things? How do we find comfort when we are confronted by these things? This afternoon, we will look at the teaching of God's Word regarding our comfort with the theme, "Look to the Lord for your only comfort." He has paid for your sins. He preserves you in this life, and He assures you of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, look to the Lord for your only comfort. He has paid for your sins. What is the thing that should cause us the greatest fear, anxiety, and sorrow? Our sins. Our sin is rebellion against God. Now, it's scary enough to be caught out rebelling against our parents or our teachers or the government. The consequences of this can be quite unpleasant. But God is so much greater in authority than our parents or our teachers or the government. He is the one who gave them their authority. He is the authority above all authorities, right? King of kings and Lord of lords. So to rebel against Him has even greater consequences. In fact, rebellion against Him is such a serious matter that it deserves eternal wrath. It deserves such fierce punishment that Scripture describes it as spending all eternity in a lake of fire that never goes out. Our God is so great that this is the only just punishment for rebelling against Him. Anything less would degrade the honor of God. And every single one of us has rebelled against Him. Each one of us has a nature that naturally rebels against Him and produces all sorts of rebellious acts every day again. We call these acts sin. That means that every single one of us deserves to spend eternity under God's wrath. Every single one of us deserves to suffer millions upon millions of years in a lake of fire that never goes out. And brothers and sisters, if this punishment seems to be over the top, it's because you don't recognize how great God really is and how serious an issue it is to rebel against Him. And since we live in a culture that denies God's authority, we can also struggle with the fact that we actually deserve such a great punishment. But we do deserve it. And that's a scary thing to meditate upon. God's anger is not something to take lightly. He hates sin, rebellion against His authority, and we sin every day. So since you're in such a terrible situation of deserving God's terrible wrath, where do you go for comfort? Do you look for comfort in yourself? This was a big day thing in the day of the Reformation. The Roman Catholic Church taught that our works form part of our righteousness before God. But if this were true, then we'd have to look to our good works for comfort. Have we done it good enough? Have we done enough of them? Are they good enough? However, if we are sincere Christians and honestly look at our good works, then we realize that they are not perfect. And we'll also see many, many sins that we've done. And the more that we grow in the knowledge of the Lord and knowing who God is, the more sin we will see in our lives. So what comfort can we get from looking at ourselves? None. But then where do we go for comfort? Well, brothers and sisters, there's only one place to turn. There's only one source of comfort, and that is our Lord. And that's where our catechism starts. Our catechism starts with a summary of the gospel, the good news. In the face of what should be our greatest fear, it calls us to confess that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. Our only comfort is that we belong to Jesus. And why is this our only comfort? Because we sold ourselves to Satan when we rebelled against God. We sold ourselves to the liar and committed ourselves to a life of rebellion against God. We became His enemies, deserving of eternal wrath, a wrath that we cannot avoid by ourselves. But God, in His great mercy, chose people from among all sinners to give to His Son Jesus. And to do that, Jesus, our Savior, had to pay the full price for all of our sins. And He did so with His precious blood. A blood that was so infinitely precious, since He was God Himself. But He let His blood be shed on the cross to pay for our sins. He willingly bore God's wrath on the cross for us. And in doing so, He freed us from all the power of the devil and made us His own. He freed us from all the power of the devil. Satan has no claim on us anymore. He likes to pretend he does. He'll claim that he does, but he doesn't. We are no longer enslaved to him, having no choice but to live in rebellion to God. Instead, we are able to fight against him as our enemy and can now start to do good. And Jesus promises that he is working in us to renew us so that one day every last desire to serve Satan as master will be gone from our lives. And we belong to Jesus 100%. There is not a single part of us that Satan can lay claim to us. We belong to Jesus, body and soul, in life and death. We belong to Jesus in this life, despite our current struggle against sin. We belong to Jesus in the next life, even though we will never stop sinning in this life. Satan has no claim over us whatsoever, in this life or the next. When God destroys Satan's kingdom, we will not be part of it. Paul and Timothy greet the church of God in Corinth and in all of Achaia with the words, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now these are familiar words to us. We've read these sorts of words so often. But at the same time, understand the great comfort of these words. This is no empty greeting. We have grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace instead of wrath. While we deserve to be punished by him, he saves us in his mercy. Peace instead of wrath. While we made ourselves his enemies, he restored peace between us. Our Lord Jesus is not only our Lord, but also our Christ, our Messiah, our Savior. And as our catechism also says, he is a faithful Savior and will not change his mind about saving us. His grace will not fail. He will not take away his promise of peace from us. And brothers and sisters, that is our comfort in the face of our sinfulness. Yes, we're sinful. And the older we get, the more mature we get in the faith, the more our own sinfulness hits us. And yet we have this most wonderful comfort. We belong to Jesus. He fully paid for us with his precious blood. And so we are no longer under God's wrath because of our sins. And sometimes, when we're really struggling with our sins, it can seem too good to be true. But brothers and sisters, it is true. Believe it. And he also preserves you in this life. Now, our sins are not the only thing that cause us to fear, to be anxious, to have sorrows. Because of sin, this life is full of misery. Full of people doing things to others that should not be done, either intentionally or unintentionally. Full of the consequences of our own sins, troubles that we've brought upon ourselves. Our life is full of miseries that comes because of the corruption of sin. Sin rots things and breaks things apart. There are things like wars and famines, earthquakes and other natural disasters. There's genetic breakdown so that our kids are born with health problems. There are diseases of various type that attack our body. Death is a reality at every stage of life, from within the womb to the aged. And life does not get any less miserable as we age. Instead, the older we get, the more we see and understand and recognize the misery sin has caused in this life. And we are not immune to this as Christians. Paul writes to the Corinthians that we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. We suffer from others because we are Christians. We suffer everything from blind pity to open persecution. We also suffer because we know how things should be. And we know evil for what it is. As a preacher has said, for in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Don't we grieve at the blindness of the world around us, the horrible things that they are doing to themselves and to their children? Doesn't that hurt us? And why? Because we know the truth. But how do you deal with the misery of this life? When a loved one, young or old, dies, where do we get comfort? When a loved one faces serious injury or disease, where do we find peace? When you are suffering because of what people have done to you, or because of the consequences of what you've done, where do you get relief from anxiety and sorrow? Do you turn to entertainment or other distractions? Spending your hours watching videos or scrolling online to distract yourself from fears, anxieties, or sorrows? Do you bury yourself in work and look to that for a time of comfort, for peace? Do you go out partying so you don't have to face your thoughts alone? Or do you turn to drugs or alcohol, looking at them to dim the pain or make you forget, to give you some free time, free from fear, anxiety, or sorrow? Or maybe you look to money to solve your problems. You shopping as a therapy. Depend on your bank balance to be able to resolve any problems you might have in the future. Depend on the wealth of Canada to supply you with a good and reliable health system to take care of you should you get sick. Can any of these things provide true comfort? They can't, can they? Sure, they might distract us for some time. They might give us a false sense of peace or security for some time. But in the end, they do not give us comfort. The fears, the anxieties, the sorrows, they all come back. We have only one comfort in this life, and that is our Lord. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions." Because of God's mercy, we have comfort. Because He is our Heavenly Father, we know that He cares for us. No matter what might happen to us in this life, we know that our Heavenly Father is preserving us. And things can go horribly wrong in this life. We can suffer beyond description, and yet we know that our Heavenly Father is so in control of things that without His will, not a hair can fall from our heads. A single hair. Think about that the next time you comb your hair and then look at the hair in your brush. Think about that the next time you shave and see all those hundreds of little hairs cut off by the razor. Not a single one of those hairs left your body without your Father's will. His level of control over what happens in our lives is that great. And that's a great comfort to us. For we know that He has given us His Son, Jesus. And that because of this, we are precious in His sight. Because of that, He is guiding every aspect of our lives for our salvation. He will make sure that we will not be crushed in this life to the extent that we leave Him. And although He might send terrible things our ways, we can have absolute confidence that He is sending these things on our paths for our eternal good, so that they work for our salvation. We know this because our Lord Himself tells us in His Word that for those who love God, all things must work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. He tells us that when we are sent troubles, that God is treating you as sons, as daughters, as children. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? we know that the painful things in this life are worth bearing. Because he tells us, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Yes, in this life affected by sin, we can suffer much misery. And yet God delivers us from this misery. He preserves us in this life so that will not crush us. He uses this misery in this life to draw us ever nearer to Him. And yes, the misery is painful. For no one's denying that. And yes, it's something that triggers fears, anxieties, and sorrows. But we have 100% certainty that we will get through these tough times. And that having done so, we'll be brought ever nearer to our Heavenly Father. The end result will be good. While at the present, we're not enjoying our suffering. In the future, we will look back and thank God for the good He has done for us in sending us this suffering. Paul and Timothy also confessed this. They say to the church in Corinth, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction," so the suffering, "we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt as if we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again." Notice the depths of their suffering. They were burdened beyond their strength. They despaired of life itself. They felt as if they had received the death sentence. And yet also notice that they confessed that it was to make them rely not on themselves, but on God. Through what they suffered in Asia, God was training Paul and Timothy. And so having learned that God could deliver them from such deadly danger, they confess that He will also deliver them in the future. They look to the Lord for comfort in this life. And yes, brothers and sisters, even as Christians, we will suffer in this life. We will even suffer because we are Christians. But we do not suffer without comfort. As Paul also told the Corinthians, "As we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." We have abundant comfort in Christ. So brothers and sisters, when you are suffering, not if, but when. When you are facing fears, anxieties, and sorrows, look to the Lord. He is the only source of comfort. He is the only one that can give true peace in all circumstances. And then, once we've learned our lesson, let's also share this comfort with others. Paul and Timothy shared what they learned from their trials. And they did this in line with what they told the Corinthians earlier. Our God comforts us in all affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And brothers and sisters, there are many in our congregations who are going through various trials. And this is normal. This is part of God's work in His children. But God also calls us to comfort them. If you understand what a brother or sister is going through, if you face their fears, their anxieties, their sorrows, and found the only comfort, share this with that brother or sister. Don't let them grieve by themselves, uncomforted. Be an encouragement to them by pointing to the only comfort, by pointing to the guaranteed comfort, our Lord, our preserver. Our Lord also comforts us by assuring us of eternal life. Do you fear death? We will all die one day. Death came as a result of sin. It's part of the curse. It's universally known that it's inevitable. And we see much fear of death in the world around us. Just think about all the fear and the fear-mongering during the COVID years. There was a fear of death that probably felt strange to many, if not all of us. At the same time, we are not immune to the fear of death. It can show up in fear of getting sickness that might lead to our death, fear of getting MS or cancer or having a stroke or heart attack, fear that various technologies might give us certain diseases. Think about some of the fear-mongering that you find online about 5G and vaccines. You can find fear about anything in this world. It can show up in fear of being persecuted for our faith. Fear that people might hate us or attack us if we talk about Jesus. Although it is rare for persecution of faith in this country to lead to death, it might yet come. We have many brothers and sisters in the world around us who believe, even though it may cost them their life, who even today, as they worship, are not guaranteed to come home safely. And Canada is no less of an evil country than their country. Fear of death can also show up in fear of old age. Being afraid to acknowledge that you are getting older and getting closer to the time when your body will break down, or that you've reached that time. There are many things that can cause us to be afraid or anxious about death, and in this life where we are sure to die, where do we look for comfort? Do you look at your ability to live a healthy lifestyle and avoid things that might cause various diseases like cancer? Living a healthy lifestyle is a godly thing, but do you depend on it for comfort in the face of death? Do you look for comfort in the world of medicine, depending on the health system and medical research to be there for you should you get a disease that might lead to your death? Do you find peace in skincare routines and other things that make you feel and look younger than you are? Or do you live in denial of the reality of death? Denying that there really is a life after death? Buying into the lie that after death there's just nothing? Or are you denying that you're going to have to face death at some point? Pushing the thought away as something that will have to be faced in the distant future? Burying your thoughts of death? These are all things that the world around us looks for peace in the face of death. But do these things give comfort? No, they do not. Those who live the healthiest lifestyle are guaranteed to die and are not even guaranteed a long life. Those who avoid every single new technology until it's proven to be safe cannot guarantee themselves a long life either. The best medical attention in the world can never make someone live forever. And for those of us who are young, while death may be many years into the future, the Lord may also call us home today. There is nothing on earth that can give us true comfort in the face of our death. Our only comfort in death is the Lord. Not only did our Lord Jesus buy us for Himself, and not only does our Father care for us in this life, but the Holy Spirit also gives us peace and comfort by assuring us that we have eternal life, by assuring us that when we die, we will enter into eternal life, or more accurately, continue in eternal life. by comforting us that our death is not a punishment for sin, it's not a negative thing, but is an entrance into our eternal reward by working faith in God's promises in our heart. It is only then that we can consider our death without fear, without anxiety, even without sorrow. Why would we fear? Would you fear going on a luxurious holiday? Of course not. That's ludicrous. Well, it's more ludicrous to fear our death for God's people than it is to fear going on a ludicrous holiday. For where we are going is so much better than the best that the world can give us. Why would we be anxious? There are no troubles in the life to come. Our Savior has promised us salvation, and He does not lie. And as for those left behind, He promises to take care of them, just as He always has. And who better to do so? His care is far better than ours. Why would we be sorrowful? Our death is an entrance into eternal joy. But what if you're sitting here today and do not have this comfort? How do you get this comfort? Only through the work of the Holy Spirit. If you do not have this comfort in the face of your death, in the face of life's anxieties, fears, and sorrows, come to the Lord and ask Him for comfort. Ask Him to give you peace. He is the only one who can give it. And He promises that if we truly ask Him for it, we will receive it. So ask in faith, believing that He will give you what you ask for. But what if you're sitting here and wondering if you really have true faith? If you can really have that comfort, if it's really yours? Well, then again, look to the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit, God Himself, who assures us of eternal life. And He's also the one who changes us so that we have become more and more ready and willing to live for Him. Look at your life for the work of God, for the work of the Holy Spirit, and then recognize that even the desire to live for the Lord is the work of the Lord. That's not something that comes from ourselves at all. It's also the Spirit who calls us to accept the teaching of God's Word about how we are to live. If the Holy Spirit is working this in your heart, then He has united you to Christ. And this comfort belongs to you. Just believe it. Brothers and sisters, there's much in this broken world that can cause us to be afraid, to be anxious, to be sorrowful. We got ourselves into much misery when we rebelled against our God. But praise be the Lord. He provides us with the only comfort in the face of our life and death. Himself. In His great love for us, His unimaginably great love for us, He fully paid for all our sins at great cost to Himself. And He preserves us in this life of misery. And He assures us that when this life ends, we will share eternal life with Him. Brothers and sisters, look to the Lord for your only comfort. Amen.